Yeah, let's send something goofy. Do we have...
Send me.
I don't know if we have a sister's address.
We don't. Do you have a sister's address?
I've got her phone.
Yeah.
You got her phone?
Why don't you get Blue to go over and do 5 minutes instead?
Why don't you call her and ask her what her address is and tell her we're going to send you something.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll pass around the card.
Okay.
And I'll know if you get it. We'll accept it and we'll send it for the delivery.
I would like to...
I've got some Cornell.
I'd like us to do something for Ted, too. It's his last week here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just to...
really?
Just make fun of, you know, just... I mean, but maybe not, you know... cake or going away cake or something.
When is his last day? Friday? Or Friday lunch?
Thursday or Friday. And you know, make fun of watching all the videos, during the videos or something like that.
All right, Romans. I don't remember what we talked about yesterday. Oh, I think we talked about it.
We stopped...
Verse 13.
Yes.
But we didn't finish verse 13.
I'm waiting for us to get to 14.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And we talked about how the word hearers there is not the usual word. It's a word that refers to, it's akroates, which is the educated, you've memorized it, you know it, but only teach it mechanically. And again, this refers to this whole thing of Paul in Romans 15, that I'm determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. And that's a biggie. But it's emphasized tremendously in James. So go to James chapter 1. We looked at James chapter something else yesterday about being a respecter of persons, I think. Start in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, or does not use evil to test you. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so that's, you know, it's the fall that causes us to move out of faith. And we are concerned, we're convinced that what we are thinking, what we are doing, what in many cases it's stuff you'd think is perfectly right. In many cases, it isn't. Huh, Harry? Never mind.
Love that, Gary.
But when man is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I've heard many sermons on this, and so... it says, therefore don't sin, because that will mean you'll die if you sin. No. What it does, the whole process of everything you've gone through, and you were drawn away of your own lust, has brought you to the understanding of death. And that's what's called the process of sanctification. And every time you're drawn away by your own lust, drawn away from what? You're drawn away from the mercy seat. You're drawn away from peace. You're drawn away from this mystery of faith because you're convinced that this thing over here is the right thing to do, or even if it's the wrong thing to do, you're convinced you're going to get away with it. But it, eventually, it brings forth death. It doesn't bring forth death because death died on the cross. I mean, death happened on the cross, but it reveals your death. You understand that?
So you can say with the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
Right. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the only good and perfect gift that came from above is the seed of Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not talking about something that you think is a good gift. You got it? Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In other words, that birthing, the born-again experience in us when we have, that's really what Passover celebrates. Passover is a celebration of your being born again. And that mystery, it doesn't matter what the world is saying about born again. It's the you're born again because you've seen your death and now your life is only Christ. Does everybody understand that? So you're these things that used to, you don't fear what you used to fear, you don't want what you used to want. I mean, you may want it, but that's part of the test to see whether there's anything that'll draw you away from this perfect will of God. This is so basic that, but almost no one knows it, because you always take these words and apply them to you. Like, oh, I've got this great gift and it's perfect from my standpoint. No. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But don't worry about the word meaning, filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness means a whole lot different than what, but we're not going to study that today. It's superfluity of naughtiness is just abundant lust, abundant wanting to change something, or abundant wish somebody else would change. What?
I just love that phrase.
Well, that's because your evil mind is thinking about naughtiness.
I love those words.
But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving in your own selves. Now here the word hearer is this the word that we just studied in Romans 2. It's acroates. It means don't just memorize it, don't just read it. You got it? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so what you do, we've seen it. You hear something, you understand it, and then then you run out there and you say, oh, I forgot the cross. How in the hell could you forget the cross? Oh, I forgot that my mind is lying to me. How could you forget that? Right? Everybody understand this a little bit? Scott?
Always.
It doesn't matter if you're in Timbuktu or Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. I heard the doctrine doesn't extend to Pennsylvania.
No, what you have to see, the mystery of this, of hearing, has to do with the Sabbath day's journey. And that's why if you're in eternity, no matter where you are in the world, in the natural, you're in eternity. So that You're not even a Sabbath day's journey. But for some, the Sabbath day's journey is across the street. Right? They're called children.
Mine is from here to the office.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the only, the perfect law of liberty is another word for Jesus Christ. So you look in the scriptures and you see him, and you won't, then you don't run away forgetting what manner of man you were. You don't, you can't forget the cross. Because you can't have two. You can't be in his name and your name. So this is all. This is the only place this word that I think of. I'm right here, but it's the, don't quote me on it. But I think it's the only place that akroates is used in conjunction as the hearing. It means the educated, the one who's reading this to memorize or to get something from it. Because if you're looking for this to get something from it, then you're looking into this as a mirror. And you won't see the perfect law of liberty, you'll see you. No matter whether you see you good or bad, you still are seeing you instead of seeing him. A little bit of understanding? Then, well, what do I do? Believe in him who you sent. That's it. All right. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, blessed, the word blessed doesn't mean, oh, that means I get all kinds of goodies. The word blessed means you're not subject to the fates. Now, we're not like the three, the fates were capricious. Is that the word?
Yep.
They messed with you. They tinkered with you in Greek mythology and almost all other mythology. They and so but our modern meaning of blessed means, oh, I had a good day, I was blessed. No. It means that you're not subject to the fates. And it means both in Hebrew and in Greek. That's what the word means. In Barak, in Hebrew it's Barak, and in Greek it's Makarios. No, I don't want to be subject to the fates. And it doesn't matter whether you call those fates little gods or little imps that are messing with you or just being a victim of the universe. Well, go back to Romans.
Back when I was a kid, I used to do those Bill Cotter things for a whole week. He was real big on memorizing scripture and meditating on it. James was one. The first chapter of James was one of the key chapters to memorize. I don't remember ever reading the book of James when I was here for 4 years. So this is the first time I've heard it in King James, plus hear you commentate on it. And it's completely different than, I mean, I remember this when I was a kid. I used to think on this chapter. It's a completely different way of looking at it.
Oh yeah, because you look in there with what I'm very familiar with it. Basic Institute of Youth Conflicts. Mm-hmm. But now he's got all kinds of new organizations. All right. Verse. For the Gentiles which have not the law, for when the Gentiles which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Everybody understand that?
I think I've been waiting for us to get to this because I guess because of how I spend my time, I am particularly interested in examples of humor and just biting satire in the Bible, and the idea that he puts in one verse this thing you said about what hearers means, the idea of a studied, learned doctor of the law. and then in contrast says the Gentiles.
Yeah,
that is just that's like as far left compared to as far right as you could possibly do. It's a very, very funny juxtaposition of words, I think.
Yeah, and it's all based on they think that, you know, the world thinks that Christ is going to come back again and set up his kingdom on earth. That's just so goofy. His kingdom is in earth, not on earth. And when he comes back, when we will rise up to meet him in the clouds, and as we look back, everything, I've thought about this a jillion times. Why in the economy of God are some believers necessary to be still alive when the end comes? And I don't know the answer except the cosmetic thing, but anyway, the end isn't going to be, oh, we're going to go up there for some time, then we're going to watch all the crap happen on earth, and then we're going to come back down, and then Jesus is going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and then we're going to have 1,000 years of perfect peace on earth. That, remember I've told you what the Cerinthian heresy is? It's about those that say gain is godliness. But the second part of the Cerinthian heresy was that Jesus was returning to Jerusalem to set up his kingdom on earth. Now, the problem with that is that now, almost every time you listen to anybody on radio or on television, a Christian preacher, he's talking about the Cerinthian heresy. And they've got all kinds of charts to prove it. And it's just goofy. Does anybody ever believe that? Did you ever believe in the rapture? Somebody here must have.
I did for a while. I read Hal Lindsey's book when I was like 18 or so.
You were, that was after you met me, and you still believed it?
No, it was before I met you, so I had to be before.
Then you weren't 18 then.
This juxtaposition here reminds me of the thing about think not to say unto yourselves, we have Abraham as our father.
For God is able to raise up these stones as children unto Abraham.
Meaningless.
That's why you can't run around and put... That's why it's so vital to understand what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. It means to put his name on something that's corruptible. I promise you, you and I are corruptible. We are rotting away. We are going to the way of all flesh. And if, as long as we put our name, his name, on us... I don't think God's going to run around and make you toast because you do it. But I just think that if by not seeing to call yourself a Christian is in fact taking the name of the Lord in vain. Or to say something is a house of God is to say you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. The only time, there's two or three times in the scriptures, it says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Well, it was a term of law. That was an offense after the emperor found out that, see, in the early years of the church, Jews and Christians, they just thought that Christians were a sect of the Jews. And so the Christians were protected by the Roman law that they didn't have to, you know, give all of their allegiance to Caesar, because the Jewish rabbis had convinced the earlier Roman Caesar that they're not about overthrowing anybody. You know, yeah, everybody understand that there wasn't a.
They commissioned that following their God made them good citizens of Rome.
Right. All these things that we do, like, you know, and we were doing it here, where some of you were thinking, or the one that was thinking it mostly isn't here, but they're saying there's something special about this place. There's nothing special about this. are calling a building a house of God. I watched Hagee last night. And it seems like he does it five times in a sermon. He said, let us to now have praise in the house of God. And so everybody praises. That's as goofy to me as starting the Ole Anthony Evangelistic Association.
I see him, all I can think about is when I was a kid, they had to buy my clothes in the husky part of Sears Roebuck. He's husky.
Husky is, that's not the word I would use.
Portland.
Just a little kid.
Obese is a good word.
Yeah.
All right. For the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one the other. Because again, you got to see this. Christ's coming happened at Pentecost. And once that, and again, remember, Passover and Pentecost are one long feast connected by the counting of the Omer. And so it's really that one feast is the seed of Christ was shed on all flesh, the sperma of God. And so, again, no matter where you are, when you come to the end of yourself, there is Christ. And it's not going to change. That's why it's so critical to understand that the so-called Great Commission is not a command. It's in the aortus tense. It says, as you go into your world, as you go, you don't go and decide you're going to, oh, I've been called to, Kevin, I want to be called to Hawaii. No, that's just your own lusts. Yeah. What? That's the cat.
The beast.
She wants in. Anyway, does everybody understand this? And therefore, when a Gentile, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, in other words, when Christ is revealed in him, because they've come to the end of themselves, that's probably a good place to quit. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have any thoughts, response? Basically, stop taking yourself so friggin' seriously, Scott.
Oh, I don't know what's going to happen.
Gary said something cool the other night. About seeing, I've never really thought of it this way, I don't know why, but seeing Christ in other people, not labeling beforehand whether it's believer or Gentile or not, just seeing Christ in people.
Of course.
Just that little small concept or whatever, you know, says a lot to me. It's
like, remember what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. So that when we run around and say, oh, especially like some of my religious friends, they say, well, you can't have anything to do with that person. He isn't redeemed. You blithering idiot. Well, is he redeemed? That's not your business. It's not my business.
It seems to me that all the stuff we're talking about this morning revolves around the fact that nobody really believes that God is God. We all have this little less than God, this little local God, or this little restricted God, or this little God in man's image. We don't really believe that God is God and fully capable. It's always too small.
Anybody have anything? All right, take a big gulp.